Layla scoffed next to me, but didn't say anything to defend herself, which again was quite bizarre for her.
Come on, let's get you home.
Excellent. I do long to see Mom and Dad, he exclaimed, punctuated by a clap of his hands.
So Layla ushered him out quickly before he could cause any more trouble. As we emerged from the prison and out into the enclave air, Logan dropped to his knees and put his hands heavenward. He beamed and whooped.
Ah, fresh air! Sweet, sweet fresh air! How I have missed you!
He laughed and turned his head to the brick path that led from the entrance to the gate and beyond. We allowed him to take his time. I imagine that being confined to a jail cell for months and years, it wasn't pleasant, but I couldn't help my smirk. If he thought this was fresh air, then I couldn't imagine how bad it must have smelled in that prison, because the air out here was the very opposite of fresh. Logan suddenly popped to his feet and strode away, which forced Layla and me to march after him. We practically jogged down the hill we'd just come up before we stopped back in Dalham Square. Logan stopped and breathed in deep, then released it a moment later with an overly exaggerated exhale.
Oh, I missed this, he said.
Then he turned to me.
How's this compared to your snooty life, Griff?
I crossed my arms and furrowed my brow. Not much different, since I'm an orphan from the wilds, in case my accent didn't give me away. He blinked at me, frowned and stroked his chin.
Ha! So that's what I was hearing.
Yeah, so trust me, I said with a suppressed sneer.
This is more my speed than the lavish meals and comfy beds of the academy.
He gave me a cold stare back, but then chuckled.
Fair enough, then, Logan said dismissively.
It was obvious that he was bored with me already. I got it, though. What was the point of antagonizing someone who'd had it as bad as you? He wanted to harass a noble, a pampered blue blood like Gawain. I wasn't that, but I knew the feeling. I would have loved to see him have a go at Maddox. That was something I'd pay good money for. It was late afternoon when we finally came to their house. After we traveled down several streets and turns, we stopped in the middle of a narrow street where the two adjoining buildings on either side of the street leaned so bad that they almost touched in the middle of the space between them. Large wooden beams were erected at odd angles and propped up against the buildings to keep them from shifting any further. Honestly, though, they didn't look like they were helping in the slightest. The walls were made of cracked plaster and stucco. Logan stepped toward the building to our right. He ignored the main door, opting to skirt into the narrow alley on the side of the building. There he ascended a rickety staircase that went as high as my neck and ended in a chipped door that was covered in faded red paint. Logan looked back at us with a mischievous grin.
It's good to be home, he said, and then kicked open the door before striding in like a conquering king.
You see what I had to live with? Layla quipped.
Yeah, he seems like a great guy. I shrugged. I can't wait to spend more time with him.
She snorted.
Try living with him for 18 years. Then you'll change your tune.
She walked past me and waved for me to follow.
Come on, let's go meet the folks.
We followed Logan into Layla's childhood home. It was a tight room packed with old furniture and not enough space. The room was hazy and reeked of tobacco smoke and alcohol, but I supposed that was better than the smell outside. There were candles everywhere in clumps of melted wax, giving the room a flickering glow. A collection of empty beer bottles covered a small table near a chipped door that hung loosely on its hinges. Next to that was a small alcove that led to a narrow stairway.
I'm home!
Logan exclaimed, which prompted Layla and me to roll our eyes and snort.
It's about damn time, a gruff voice from another room said.
There was an open doorway that led to what looked like a small kitchen, and from there, a large man waddled out. He was rounder than Rory was, with stained clothes and a messy beard that looked like it hadn't been washed in a long time, if ever. Logan gave him a hug.
It was awful in there. Trust me, I know, boy.
Her father then looked to Layla.
Thanks for bringing him back, girl.
Her lips set in a severe line.
Sure, Dad.
Then he looked to me.
Who's your friend?
Griff, she explained. He goes to the academy, too.
She turned her head to me while nodding toward the older man.
Griff, this is Len, my father.
I put out my hand. Pleased to meet you. I gave him my warmest, most charming smile. Well, maybe not the most charming, since I saved those for the wooing ladies. But this was right below that.
Likewise,
he replied with an almost hostile look. Before we could say anything further, a woman's voice echoed from the same kitchen.
Oh, is Logan home?
Out came a woman who I could only assume was Layla's mother. She was gaunt, with sallow cheeks and heavy bags under her beady eyes that weren't at all like Layla's. Her mom had a slight shiver as she walked, and she constantly scratched at her arms, covered by her long sleeves. Her smile for Logan was genuine, but it faded when her eyes turned to Layla.
Oh, hello, darling.
Her voice was dismissive. Layla sighed.
Hi, Mom.
She gave her mother a tentative hug. Then she indicated toward me.
This is my friend, Griff. Griff, this is my mother, Hara.
So we went through the same spiel of handshakes and greetings, me saying, pleased to meet you. I tried to stay sincere, but so far Layla's family hadn't impressed upon me a friendly and welcoming nature. Still, I'd be nice, since it was my nature. Once that was done, Layla looked like she was about ready to bolt, but I doubted it would be so easy. She couldn't just pop in to see her family after months and not expect to stay a while. But she tried. Layla cleared her throat and thumbed at the door we'd come through.
Well, it's getting late. We should probably get back to school. Oh, nonsense, Hara said with a dismissive wave of her hand. I have dinner almost ready.
She crossed her arms and gave her daughter a nasty glare.
Unless our food is no longer good enough for you.
Layla bristled, her cheeks growing warm.
No. No, it's fine. We can stay. Good to hear.
So we had dinner at the Bethel residence. We had to wait through an hour of awkward silence and small talk before Hera was finished with the food. I gave her credit. It smelled good, so I hoped it tasted as good. We crammed into their kitchen, which doubled as a dining area. One wall was dominated by a messy sink filled with dishes crusty with old food. There was a dirty stove and a small hearth that was unlit. We all piled around the worn wooden table on the far wall and took a seat. Hera served us all our plates, piled high with baked beans, rolls of bread, and some soup. As I dug in, I was surprised by how good it was. Thank goodness. We ate in silence for a while, maybe for the best, but I decided to break the ice. My curiosity had gotten the best of me. So, Logan, what were you in prison for? He pointedly stared at me and waited to finish chewing before answering. That would have been fine, but he really took his time. I figured this might have been a touchy subject when I asked it, but I also had the impression that he may actually take pride in it, and that it would be something he would be happy to discuss. Instead, he glared. What's it to you? I put my hands up defensively and offered a light chuckle to defuse him. I'm genuinely curious. I assume it wasn't anything serious if they let you out. He grunted. He took a sip of his drink before answering.
I was caught burgling a neighbor's house.
He shrugged nonchalantly.
He owed me money, and I was looking for it.
He kept eating with a satisfied smirk as if it was no big deal at all. I scrunched my brows and frowned.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
He snorted.
I don't need to explain myself to you, Mage.
Layla put a hand out to settle him down.
Easy, Logan.
He stuck out his tongue at her before he turned his gaze to me.
Have you ever been to prison, Griff?
All of their gazes were curious and slammed into me. I felt as if they'd be disappointed if I said no. Layla was even curious, so I plastered a grin on my face and scratched the back of my neck as I gave them the truth. Well, I've never done serious time, but I've had to spend a few nights here and there in the local lockup for drunk and disorderly conduct. It may be the occasional bar fight. Layla laughed.
That sounds about right for you.
Lynn nodded, looking almost impressed. It was odd that I almost felt satisfied with gaining some approval from him. I got the feeling Layla didn't want me anywhere near her family. But here we were. I would make the best of it. As I said, I would charm them. If not for my sake, then for hers.
I've been in a few scrapes myself from time to time, her father said with a chuckle that was punctuated by a smelly alcohol burp.
Layla bumped my shoulder and smiled.
Griff is an amazing fighter, too. Top of our class in hand-to-hand combat. Why would they teach you that when you can just use magic?
Logan scoffed. Well, there are situations where we could be low on mana, I began. Or times where it isn't appropriate to use magic, like in a bar fight, for instance. Logan nodded, but he grumbled as if he didn't see the point.
So, Griff, what did you do before you joined the academy?
Layla's father asked. He picked at his teeth, trying to get some lodged food out. I tapped my fingers against the table. I was a laborer in the wilds. My mentor and I went from town to town helping people with our monsters in whatever way we could. Mostly menial labor, like building houses and clearing forests and the like.
Huh. So you left your family for a cushy life like a little girl here. Must be nice.
Her father glared at me. I tried my best not to be nauseated by his condescension, and did my best to hold my tongue and remain calm. Layla looked straight ahead, but I could see how tense she was. She was struggling to keep her emotions in check.
No, I corrected. I'm an orphan. I've been traveling with the man who raised me for a few years now, but I was recently discovered by the military, and they made me join the academy.
Lin twirled his spoon around his soup.
Ah, I see.
It was like he didn't really hear me.
Seems to me you abandoned your mentor, just like we were abandoned by our own daughter.
She gritted her teeth.
I've explained this to you. I didn't have a choice. That's wrong. You abandoned us,
Hera snapped suddenly.
Yeah,
Logan chimed in. He leaned back in his chair and seemed content to sow familial strife.
The military doesn't conscript people.
Layla slammed her hand against the table.
Bullshit! I didn't have a choice! The military rounded me up without so much as a word.
Her dad snorted.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
It's true, I chimed in. All people with magic must at least be evaluated by the military. If deemed useful, they must go to their nearest academy for 4 years, and then complete military service for 4 to 5 years. Lin scoffed.
Nonsense! The government can't force people to fight. She chose to go there because she didn't want to be here anymore.
Unbelievable, I said with a sigh. Layla's fists clenched. She looked about ready to explode. Her skin was so red.
That's besides the point. What pisses me off is that Logan got your son killed and himself thrown in prison. But you welcome him back like nothing ever happened. You act as if Nathan never existed. Don't say his name,
Hera barked.
I don't want to think about it. He existed, Mum. You can't run from it.
Her mother stood up.
At least your brother is loyal. He's made mistakes, but he's always come home. Not like you. Always staying away, never wanting anything to do with us. You ran away to your precious school while we had to deal with the fallout of losing both your brothers. It's like you didn't love us or even love Nathan.
Layla stood abruptly, her face trembling with rage, and her legs caught the edge of the table, making the dishes and silverware rattle.
How fucking dare you say that?
She said through gritted teeth.
You've never cared about me. You've always ignored me and treated me like crap for years. Well, before everything happened. You in a drug haze and Dad always blindingly drunk, while your sons run around getting into deep trouble. But I'm the one you still make miserable.
She gave them a harsh laugh.
I didn't abandon you. But you know what? If I'd had the choice, I would have left. Because what's the point of staying with a family that doesn't give a shit about you?
Well, that's because you're...
You know, I said, cutting off her father. We wouldn't be here if she didn't want to have you in her life. I shook my head.
I'm so disappointed in you.
Her father took a long swig of his drink as he studied me.
Well, who asked you? I don't remember inviting a wilder mage here to judge us.
I grimaced. No, I suppose you're right. Sir. I spat that last word with as much venom and sarcasm as I could possibly muster. Have a good night, I said with one last smile. Then I grabbed Layla's hand and strode from the kitchen. Come on, Lay. Let's get out of here.
Yeah,
she said as she followed me out of the front door. Tears rolled down her cheeks. Are you okay? I asked once we were back outside, my voice low and concerned. She made this laughing sound that was half a sob.
What kind of stupid fucking question is that, Griff?
I grinned. Yeah, that was probably a poor choice of words. I put an arm around her shoulder as she fingered a small little bear the size of her palm that I'd seen clipped to her bags and belt before. I never thought much of it, but she looked at it now with such sadness that it made my heart ache.
It's not your fault, Griff. You meant well,
she sighed angrily.
My family is, well, you know,
she sighed again. That's no excuse, I shook my head. And I'm sorry your family treats you like that. No one should ever have to deal with that. She nodded, but didn't answer immediately. She swiped at her eyes and brought the little bear closer to her face.
Nathan gave this to me when we were little. He'd been a street crier at the time, and had saved up money for a week to go buy this for me from a shop in the artisan district.
She paused as her voice hitched. I brought her closer to me and leaned my head against hers. Finding her voice again, she pressed on.
Now he's gone, because Logan got him mixed up with the wrong people. And sometimes my family acts like he was never here. Like it wasn't Logan's fault, but oh, they love him so much because he gives them some fucking money for their damn terrible habits. So I'm the bad one for leaving, against my will, I might add, for a better life in the military.
Layla stopped again, this time to sob.
They don't give a damn about me. They just need someone to blame, someone to bring down to make themselves feel better.
She flitted between sorrow and rage, and so did I. I wanted to march back to her house and beat the hell out of them, but that wouldn't have helped anything. So I pulled Layla into me, wrapped my arms tightly around her, and held her. You don't need their approval, Layla, okay? I pronounced. Fuck them. You have a new family. Me and Brayden, and there are plenty of others at the academy that care about you. You don't need to keep people that don't give a damn about you in your life. I let her pull back so I could look her in the eyes. I held her face in my hands and offered her the sincerest smile I could muster. Blood doesn't make a family. Love does. Her lips trembled, and she began to cry in earnest as she buried her face into my chest. She cried and cried, and I kept holding her all throughout. We might have stood there for hours, if not for the slurring, growling voice that interrupted our moment.
Well, looky what we have here, gents.
Layla started against me as she shifted to glance toward the voice. I looked up at the time to see that we had company, a group of unsavory-looking fellows that I feared weren't just here to ask for directions.
Chapter 10. There were five of them, large, ugly, and clad in tattered clothes and black leather armor. They didn't look like a friendly bunch. They fanned out around us and closed in. The speaker directly in front of us sneered. He had a fat nose and a nasty scar that ran below his eyes and along his nose, like he took a knife slash to the face. He sounded like he was drunk, but his rigid movement and hyper-focused gaze told me that he was very much sober. The goons around us chuckled, sure that they'd caught their prey in their trap. Layla tensed next to me as she subtly leaned in, her fingers intertwined with mine. It was hard for me to tell if she was scared or determined as she glared back at the men.
"What do you want?"
she asked with a nervous hitch in her voice. The scarred thug wagged a finger at her.
"You must be Bethel's little sis, right?"
The way a shudder ran through her gave him his answer. He chuckled.
"I reckon you are."
Layla grimaced.
"You didn't answer my question. What do you want?"
The goons prowled around us like wolves amongst sheep, ready to pounce. But I was sure that they wouldn't until their leader gave the signal. His smile grew wider. It was plain that polishing his teeth wasn't a priority, as he was missing a few teeth, and those that remained were a sickly yellow. He pulled out a knife and twirled it in his grip.
"We hear your brother is out of the joint."
The thug's eyes drifted up and down his knife as he spoke.
"We'd simply like a word with him."
"He owes you money?"
she asked.
"That's part of it, love,"
the leader said with a grin, as his eyes snapped up to her. Layla let go of my hand and took a step toward the man.
"I can promise you that he doesn't have much money to offer."
The scarred bastard chuckled again, and this time he allowed his eyes to wander the length of her body.
"We're quite sure he ain't got the swag we're looking for. We're well aware of his bad habits."
"Then I don't see what you want,"
Layla demanded, hands on her hips, her eyes defiant, and I stood with her with a glare. I didn't know all the facts of her family's situation,
but I was going to stand with her, especially against these brutes. The thug came to stand a step away from her. He towered over Layla, a mound of muscle and a whole lot of ugly. Layla didn't cower, though. That didn't surprise me. She was less than enthusiastic about fighting monsters. But these type of monsters, these she had no problem standing up to. 5-on-2 wasn't good odds normally, but these were common thugs, and we were trained fighters. If all else failed, we also had our magic.
"We just want to let him know how much we miss him, and that he needs to pay up soon."
The goon took a dangerous step right into Layla's personal space. Then he gripped her chin in his hand and tilted her head up.
"Besides, there are some things that we can take as collateral."
He winked, and his meaning was crystal clear. And I was done listening.
"Shove off!"
I pushed the man hard away from Layla and sent him stumbling back. "Touch her again, and you'll lose your hand." The leader chuckled wickedly as he straightened up and gave his knife another twirl.
"That wasn't smart, friend."
With that, he lunged at me with the thrust of his knife. But he was slow and sloppy, and I was an excellent fighter. I dodged his blow, caught his arm, gave it a twist, and with all the force I could muster, broke his elbow. He screamed and collapsed to the ground. Then he curled into a ball and whimpered. His men were hesitant and stared at us in confusion. That wasn't surprising. I didn't expect thugs to be too bright. The boss cradled his ruined arm to his stomach. The bone just barely broke the skin, and little lines of blood ran down his hairy forearm. He staggered onto one knee and looked around at his men, his eyes aflame with hate.
"What are you idiots standing around for?"
he demanded, the pain evident in his voice.
"Kill these fucks!"
What last hope I had that these asses would just fuck off was over, as like good little minions, they closed in on us. As Layla and I put up our guards, I wondered if the city guard would drop by, but from what Layla had said about them in the past, I had my doubts. No, we had to handle this by ourselves. As I stepped forward and dropped the leader into unconsciousness with a right cross, the one behind me barreled into me and put me in a headlock. He was big and strong, nearly the same size as Brayden, but he was untrained, and gave me too much room to use my arms. I elbowed him in the gut 3 times in quick succession, and as his breath exploded from his lips in a pained puff, his grip loosened. I kicked my leg back as I grabbed hold of his arm and flipped him over my shoulder. As he slammed onto the street at my feet, his head bounced painfully off the ground. I looked up in time to see another thug slam Layla against the wall, one hand on her neck and the other arm pressed against her chest. He licked his lips, and as he leaned in toward her, she kicked him in the groin so hard, I practically felt it. He squealed and released her as he crumbled to the ground. Then she coughed and massaged at her throat with one hand, while she punched him hard in the jaw with the other. That was my girl. I wanted to move toward her, so we could fight back to back and minimize the thug's numerical advantage. But before I could, one of the thugs lunged at me. I dove out of the way, and as I came up on my feet, another thug tackled me. Before I knew it, the bastard was atop me, and as he tried to pin my arms to the ground with his knees so he could pummel me, I utilized the same counterattack I'd used on Nia when she'd tried something similar. With a surge of strength, I threw him off before he could get a shot in. His breath whooshed out of him as he tumbled forward, and I used the time to slip out of his grip and leap to my feet. He turned toward me as he tried to scramble backward, and fell on his butt just in time to catch my foot with his face. His head snapped to his side, and his eyes rolled back in his head. That was 2 down. However, the goon I'd flipped earlier had recovered and came at me again. In the corner of my eye, I saw Layla fighting with the one who had lunged at me earlier, but I wasn't worried. Besides, I had my own dance partner to deal with. We traded blows for a few moments. He was a much better striker than the grappler, I'd give him that, but I was even better and had superior conditioning. As he huffed and puffed from just this short brawl, I saw my chance, ducked under a wild hook, and punched him in the ribs. He winced and swung wide, but the punch was slow and weak. I parried it, grabbed his arm, and used the momentum of his swing to slam him face first into the brick wall behind us. He hit with a wet crack, and as he turned back toward me, his eyes unfocused, I knew that he was likely done. but there was no need to take chances. I grabbed him by his forehead and shoved his head hard against the wall with a loud thud. That did it. He was out before he slumped to the ground, and a smear of blood trailed down from his head, from where it had hit the stones. I turned back to find Layla standing over the last one as she kicked him repeatedly in the stomach, before she finished him off with a swift kick in the head that made his body go limp.
"They,"
she said between gulps of air,
"they picked the wrong night to fuck with me."
Layla's face was a storm of anger. Her lips were bloody from where she must have taken a punch, but that only made her look more fearsome, especially with her hair loose and wild like a lion's mane. Though she still seethed with rage, she also looked radiant in victory. I crossed the space to her and put an arm on her shoulder. "Are you okay?" Other than her bleeding limp, I didn't see anything serious, but I also wasn't a healer. She shook her head as she grimaced.
"Nothing about this is okay, Griff."
Her words were sharp and angry, and I nodded slowly. She was right, of course. Just then, the door to her home banged open, and out came her brother, Logan, his brows knitted with frustration.
"What the hell is going on out here?"
he demanded. That answer was answered quickly as his eyes surveyed the scene. He turned pale, and he looked like he had been wounded instead of us.
"Maker,"
he whispered. He descended the steps and knelt next to one of the goons as his eyes traveled from their face to their clothes, and then to Layla. It was then that he noticed her face, and mine as well. All the remaining color drained from him, taking him from pale to sheet white. Tentatively, Logan stood and raised his hand to Layla's face.
"Shit, I didn't mean for you to get involved in this," he croaked, his voice tinged in regret.
Gone was the disgust and annoyance he'd shown all day.
"I'm sorry." Those were the wrong words.
Layla snapped. Though she was small, Logan wasn't exactly muscular. She grabbed him by the collar of his shirt and slammed him up against the wall. He yelped in surprise.
"You're a fucking asshole, Logan. Do you know that?"
Her words were venomous, and her gaze was straight up murderous. Logan gulped.
I've been told that once or twice."
Layla growled and pushed him back. She walked amongst the unconscious bodies and muttered curses. When she came to their leader, she paused, snarled, and gave him a good kick in the side. He didn't even twitch, still passed out from my punch. I rarely saw her this mad, but I had to admit I was glad I wasn't on the receiving end of her ire. She put her arms out and spun around slowly.
"Bastards came here for you,"
she said, her voice cracking with emotion.
"I gather that,"
Logan said. I crossed my arms and glowered at him. "You don't seem particularly shocked." He shrugged.
"I owe a lot of people money."
It appeared his nonchalant, shitty self was back and on the defensive.
"Yeah, we know that,"
Layla spat. She stormed up to him and shoved a finger in his face.
"They were going to take me as collateral. And make a nose what else?"
Logan blanched again and rubbed his jaw.
Yeah, I know. You're fucking sorry."
Layla threw her hands up and walked away from her brother. I expected her to punch him in the face any second now, and I was looking forward to it. Layla stopped by the leader again and turned her raging gaze back to her brother.
"Who are these men, Logan?"
Logan gulped and walked over to the boss. As soon as he saw the scarred face, Logan's face pinched with worry. It was obvious that he knew who this was.
"Shit, shit, shit,"
he muttered.
"I take it you recognize him?"
Layla asked, her anger only barely stamped down under her control. Her brother nodded, unable to look at her.
"That there's Bando Sack. He's one of the main lieutenants of the Gutter Drakes."
"Gutter Drakes?" I asked, an eyebrow raised. That sounded like a ridiculous name to me.
"They're a gang,"
Layla answered, her eyes still locked on Logan.
"I figured that," I said with a scratch of my head. "But some more specifics would be good."
Logan dropped to the ground and sat, arms draped over his knees.
"They're ruthless. They deal a lot in drugs, mostly. Though they also are heavy involved in extortion, racketeering, and, of course, loan sharking. And I guess that's what got you in trouble?"
I asked as I raised an eyebrow. He nodded. I have what you might call a gambling addiction.
You think?
Layla snorted in derision.
You sold out your own fucking brother because of it.
I said I was sorry!
He shouted, his voice quivering. Layla slapped him hard, and the sound of it echoed off the bricks. His head snapped to the side as he crumbled in a heap, his cheek bright red as he cowered. Layla stood over him, her whole body tensed and primed to explode.
He's dead because of you!
She wailed as her voice cracked and tears glistened in her eyes. Logan put his hand out and sucked in some air.
He knew what he was getting himself into!
That was the wrong thing to say. Layla lunged for her brother with the snarl of a monster, but I caught her right before she could tear into him. I pulled her to me and held her close. I understand your anger, but we need him conscious to give us information about the Drakes, I soothed. You can beat him to a pulp later. She growled against me and pushed off me.
I'm fine,
she snarled, though I didn't believe that for a single second. Still, she didn't try to attack her brother again. Her fury wasn't gone, though, as she unleashed a scalding look at him. Layla put a finger in his face, right between his eyes, and he gulped hard.
Nathan joined the Drakes to keep the heat off of you, and to earn some money to help pay off your debts,
Layla spat.
But you just kept on gambling, and gambling, and gambling!
Her voice hitched, and tears started to flow in earnest. It broke me to see her in so much pain.
Those bastards came here just like they did tonight, and took him. And you did nothing. When you didn't pay, they killed Nathan.
Logan slumped.
I never meant for... And they came for me!
She roared.
At least I assume now that they were Drakes. That was when my magic first manifested. I thought they were random thugs. But now I'm thinking that they were your fault, too.
Logan didn't deny that accusation, so I suppose that meant it was true. Layla continued her beratement.
And meanwhile, when my brother is barely dead in the ground, you get your dumbass arrested for petty theft!
She spit on the ground near his feet and walked away from him. Her arms trembled, her fingers clenched into white-knuckled fists. I went over to Layla and gripped her shoulder. I pulled her to me and rested her head on my shoulder briefly. Eyes closed, she breathed me in and calmed herself. Once she wasn't so fiery, she strode back over to her brother. Now, her stare was ice cold.
Where are they?
Layla demanded as she knelt in front of her brother and pulled him close to her by the collar of his shirt. They were nose to nose. He licked his lips and considered the question.
I'm fairly certain that their main hideout is on Mill Street, a string of abandoned warehouses that they've commandeered for their own use.
Their eyes locked for a solid 10 seconds before Layla shoved her brother away.
Thanks.
Then she strode out of the alley and out onto the street.
Be sure to fetch a guard so they can collect this lot before they come to.
With that, she turned the corner and disappeared. I gave her brother one last look. He sat there, stunned and silent, so I reiterated what his sister said about the guards, and when he nodded, I followed after Layla. She strode ahead of me with a determined gait. She had short legs, but she flew down the way, and I had to jog to catch her. There were a few people out and about, but one look at Layla had them steering well clear of her. I imagined she had a right murderous look about her. When I finally caught her, I grabbed her by the shoulder and turned her around to face me.
Hey,
I said. Slow down. Her eyes were red and puffy, and her cheeks were stained by tears. That deadly glare was there, but it lessened as she took me in. What are you planning to do, Layla?
I'm going to get justice for Nathan.
I frowned at her. That's not exactly answering the question.
I'm going to kill them, all right?
She yelled and threw her hands out.
I'm going to make sure they can't hurt anyone ever again.
I wasn't crazy about her line of thought. Are you sure about that? Who knows how many men they have? And killing for revenge? Is that the path you wish to go down? She sneered at me, something I definitely wasn't used to.
It isn't revenge. It's justice.
There's not much of a distinction between the two. Couldn't you just inform the city guard where they are and let them handle it?
I promise you the guard know where they are,
she replied with a scoff.
On a whole, the guard doesn't give a shit about the slums, and many of them are just as cruel and crooked as any gang.
She huffed and stomped away from me.
So no, they won't do anything about this. We have to take care of this.
We? I crossed my arms and arched an eyebrow at her.
Are you saying you won't help me, Griff?
Her glare was dangerous. I softened. Of course I'll help you, Layla. I just don't want you to get hurt. My concern softened her too, finally rubbing away at the intense coat of anger she'd been wearing. She stood on her toes and planted a kiss on my cheek.
As long as we're together, I know we'll be okay.
She finally smiled, and that seemed to take all the tension away.
We're technically part of the military, right? It's our job to help people. These monsters have hurt and killed so many, and will continue to do so unless we stop them. So yes, it may be revenge, but it is the right thing to do.
Well, I smiled warmly. I cannot possibly argue with that line of logic. I put a hand on her cheek and wiped away her tears. We're mages, after all. We can take some street thugs. Layla chuckled, brightening for the first time all day. She threw her arms around my waist and buried her face into my chest.
Thank you, Griffey, she said.
I embraced her back. I'll always be there to help you. She took in a deep breath.
I know.
When we finally pulled apart, we were both smiling. I held her out at arm's length. Do you have any of your crystals with you? I asked her.
I do.
She nodded.
I had this feeling this morning that I should bring them.
I smirked. I'd say your gut was right. She nodded. Do you know where Mill Street is?
Yeah, I know where Logan was talking about.
Then lead the way, Miss Bethel, I said, and stepped aside, an arm out, indicating for her to take the lead. Her grin grew wide and wicked.
With pleasure.
Chapter 11. I followed alongside Layla as she led us to our target. Her strides were long and determined, and her body brimmed with a primal rage. She was ready for a fight, practically itching for a fight, and she was going to get one. I just had to make sure we both survived it. No one bothered us as we made our way down the large hill that this side of the enclave was built along. I'm sure we stood out from the riffraff that we passed with our well-made outfits, despite the bit of dirt and blood from our earlier scuffle. It didn't help that Layla was a young and exceptionally beautiful woman, or that I didn't exactly hide my fine compartmented belt and the crystals they contained. But for whatever reason, people steered clear of us. Maybe they sensed our intent. Maybe Layla's determined glare scared them off. Whatever it was, I was glad to be able to walk unmolested. The closer we got to the Drake's hideout, the more I felt Layla tense up beside me. I didn't know if it was nervousness or anticipation, but her breathing quickened, and I swore that I could hear her heartbeat. "You doing all right?" I asked her. She looked forward.
"I won't be all right until this is all done."
That was fair. This wasn't easy for her, and while I missed the snarky and fun-loving Layla that I adored, she would be absent tonight, and for good reason. We had to get this done so she could move on and go back to being the girl I knew and cared for deeply. It took half an hour to make our way to the derelict district, where the Drake's run-down hideout was. Every building seemed to be made of broken brick, cracked windows, and chipped paint, as if this whole part of town had neglected to take care of itself for decades. That may have very well been the truth. As we made our way through, I got the distinct feeling that we were being watched. My skin crawled, and my hairs stood on edge, my body on high alert. My father's charred dagger, one of the few mementos I had of him, was tucked into my belt. It was the only weapon I had besides my essence crystals. If we were attacked up close, I wouldn't likely have time to summon anything, so I would have to trust in my dagger and my fists. Layla stopped at an intersection of shabby streets next to a boarded-up building with a busted glass bay window that had once been a storefront. There was some faded lettering that read, "Mama M's Baked Goods." I assumed she was out of business.
"What is it?" I asked Layla.
She looked down the street, her eyes alight with determination.
"This is Mill Street."
I nodded. "You ready?"
"Yeah,"
she said simply.
"Now we just need to figure out which shithole is their little base."
I doubted they would leave out a sign advertising their criminal activities to the world, but I was sure we could find it out without much effort. Layla started down the street, with me on her heels.
I'd rather have us stick to the shadows. But we couldn't stay in the alleys and such without knowing where we were going. So all we could do was walk down the road as inconspicuously as we could. Surprisingly, Mill Street wasn't deserted. Most of the buildings were run down and abandoned, but I spied the glow of candles and lamps through many of the windows. One tavern there was even in full swing with blazing lights, loud yelling and cursing spilling out onto the street. I supposed even criminals needed a place to get away and to drink. I was content to move right past it, but Layla veered toward the bright tavern and strolled up the steps to the front desk. She marched right up to a skinny beanpole of a man with a scraggly blonde beard that looked to be stained with alcohol. He had an angry face, all scars and scowls, as he pulled the cigarette from his mouth and puffed a large cloud of smoke while he looked Layla up and down. If she cared, she didn't let on. While she might not have, I didn't like the leering, hungry look he gave her, so I made sure to come up behind her to let him know that Layla was off limits.
"What do you want?"
he asked after a moment.
"Money,"
she replied simply. He looked her up and down again.
"I wouldn't mind paying for your services, as long as the rate's reasonable."
Layla scoffed, and I had to keep myself from punching the man.
"Not from you, shitsack. I lost all my money up at Ralph's Lucky Ride. I owe money to some people, and they'll be collecting soon. I was told that the Drakes are around these parts, that they might be able to loan me some scratch so I can get the debt collectors off me back."
I was surprised to see how easily Layla slipped into her native slum lingo. It was definitely something to behold. The man narrowed his eyes at her.
"But then you just be owing money to the Drakes, darling. And you ain't wanting to be in their debt sheet, I promise you."
"Don't worry about me, sir."
Layla spat that last bit like it was a curse.
"I can get money soon. Just not soon enough for my liking."
He stroked his beard.
"You ain't with the guard, are you?
Do you think the guard would take on a little thing like me?"
Layla scoffed, and though I couldn't see her face, I was sure she rolled her eyes.
"I suppose not."
The man pushed off the banister he'd been leaning against and uncrossed his arms to point down the way.
"They're set up in the old textile mill. Shouldn't miss it. It's got dozens of windows and two large smokestacks, with the one closest to the road missing some brick."
"Thank you,"
Layla said with a nod, then turned away from the man and walked down the steps. I followed after her. The man called after us.
"If they end up killing you, don't say I didn't give you a fair warning."
Layla's only response to that was to give him a thumbs up without even looking back over her shoulder. Once the tavern was just a dim glow behind us, I walked up beside Layla and patted her shoulder. "That was some damn fine acting right there," I told her.
"Thanks," she said with a smirk. "You have to learn to be a good liar to survive in the slums. Honesty is the best way to get yourself killed or swindled around here. Probably both."
"So long as you're honest at least some of the time," I mused. "I guess that's an all right way to navigate things."
"Griff,"
she began as she took one of my hands in hers and looked down at the paired grimp.
"I know I'm not the perfect person, all right? I lie a lot. I prank and badger people. I can be downright mean if I have to. But I've always been honest with you. So if things don't go right in there, I just want you to know."
I silenced her with a kiss. A shudder ran through her before she melted into me as our kiss turned long and passionate. When we pulled apart, I put a finger to her lips. "None of that, Layla Bethel," I whispered. "We'll be fine. I've got your back."
"And I have yours,"
she whispered back with a smile.
"Thanks."
I nodded, planted another kiss on her forehead, and then turned us back down the street. "Come on, let's end this."
"Yes, let's,"
she said as she steeled herself and her gaze hardened. We found the textile mill easily enough. It was at the far end of the street, and honestly, it was hard to miss, as it was the largest building around. The smokestacks towering over everything like menacing fingers, reaching greedily for the silver moon. The mill itself was a hulking behemoth of brick and glass windows. There was no telling how many thugs laid within. I'd been to a textile mill once, when Maylor and I had gone to visit Nia Lynn Enclave, and there had been hundreds of women working the spinning mules. I prayed there weren't that many goons waiting for us in there.
Metal doors, big enough for carriages and wagons to come through, loomed at the front of the mill, but they were chained shut. We didn't spy another entrance along the street side of the building, but lights shone through the many broken windows, as well as muffled voices that echoed from within. The only unshuttered or unchained entrance we could find was around the corner, in a wide alley between the far side of the mill and the large brick warehouse next to it. We hung back around the corner from it. There was a guard out front, but he didn't raise an alarm or move to chase us, so it was a safe bet that he wasn't aware of us yet. Layla kept watch around the wall as she slipped her hand into her bag and pulled out a large crystal.
"All right, you ready to unleash hell on these bastards?"
she hissed. "Hold on," I said as I put my hand over her crystal. She cocked an eyebrow. "We should try to get in without any trouble. See what we're up against inside before we start this fight. See what we're going up against inside before we start this fight." Layla nodded.
"Fair play."
She returned the crystal to her pack.
"Okay, I'll take the lead. Be ready if this goes south."
"After you, Bethel. You're the good liar, after all." She grinned.
"I prefer to think of it as being a master of persuasion."
Once more, she looked around the wall to the guard before she pulled back. A deep breath later, her face pinched into a determined scowl.
"Okay, here we go."
Layla pushed off from the wall and rounded the corner with me on her heels. The guard saw her immediately and went rigid as he fumbled for one of the several knives he had strapped to his chest. But Layla put her hands up in surrender.
"Whoa there, friend. We don't mean you any trouble."
The guard snorted, but he didn't drop his hand from where it gripped his knife.
"What do you want, girl?"
He had a gruff voice, gravelly and coarse, like he'd smoked far too much. Layla approached him slowly, and I stayed a few steps behind her.
"You're with the Drakes, right? I was told you could lend me some coin."
"Who told you that?"
the thug asked suspiciously.
"We don't handle customers here."
"One of your own told me."
Layla lied glibly.
"Who, girl?"
Layla made a play at fumbling for a name.
"What was it that he said his name was?"
She tapped her foot and looked up in mock contemplation. "It was something with a B, right?" I offered to keep the con going.
"Oh, yes,"
she exclaimed.
"Brandon, Braden, oh, Bando, that was it. Bando Sark, had a nasty scar across his face."
The guard let out a sharp breath and crossed his arms.
"Bando told you that? I don't believe he'd be that stupid."
Layla shrugged.
"He was decently drunk. He and his men were drowning in ale at the Copper Cobbler in Delham Square. He must have overheard me talking about my gambling debts. He offered to set me up with a loan and told me to meet his associates here."
"Delham is near where they were going to pick up that no-good Bethel sister,"
he said as he mulled her words aloud. Layla stiffened slightly when he mentioned her true identity. We both had to wonder if the guard knew what Layla looked like. Maybe he didn't know, but the lighting wasn't great either. He may know, but hadn't gotten a good look at her yet.
"If you could help me,"
she pressed,
"I could just leave."
"No, no,"
the guard barked abruptly.
"What was your name?"
Layla gulped.
"Penelope."
"Come closer to the light, Penelope," the guard ordered. "Let me get a good look at you."
I didn't like this one bit, and neither did Layla, if her tense muscles were any judge, but she complied. The thug looked her up and down, a lecherous leer coming over his face.
"You're certainly a pretty little lass."
He chuckled menacingly, which sent a chill down my spine. I gripped my knife's hilt in my right hand, just in case, while I palmed a few of my crystals in my left.
"Thank you, sir,"
Layla murmured nervously. The guard gripped her chin in his meaty hands and turned her face left and right so he could get a good look at her.
"Yeah, very pretty and very familiar."
"I don't think we've met before, mister."
Layla's voice was tense.
"Maybe not,"
the guard said. He licked his lips as he cocked his head.
"But you look like..."
Then he jolted as if he was struck by the realization.
"Bethel!"
That was the last thing he said, for Layla was a blur. Faster than I could blink, she thrust her fingers right into his throat. The stiff shot made the thug choke and gag, as his hands flew up to his neck and cut off his cry of alarm. Before he could catch his breath, she laid him out with a hard right cross. The guard collapsed in a heap as he sucked in a deep breath. She'd been so fast, I hadn't even had a second to react.
Maker, I breathed. Could you give me a little warning next time, Layla?
Sorry,
she said with a shrug.
He'd put two and two together. He was about to raise the alarm.
I know, I smirked. I'm just surprised you were so quick. Guess that training is paying off.
Guess so.
She flushed as I took a knee by the guard's body to give him a search. To my surprise, I noticed that one of what I thought were all knives strapped to the goon was an old flintlock pistol. Primitive, but still effective in a pinch. Not one to look a gift horse in the mouth, I retrieved the gun belt and strapped it over my own belt. Layla grabbed the long dagger the guard had been about to draw in her right hand. She took in a deep breath, then released it as her eyes found mine.
Okay, what's the plan?
She asked. We go in, I began slowly as I assessed the situation, and try to find some high ground so we can see what we're dealing with. Textile mills are usually wide open, so it should be easy to get a layout. If the numbers favor us, we can unleash hell from that vantage point. Only thing is, we should probably avoid using any fire monsters. Wouldn't want to burn the whole neighborhood down. Layla nodded.
Right. The slums are a giant tinderbox. A fire here could burn half the city to the ground.
Exactly. I nodded. Honestly, these are just gangsters. Great E monsters will probably do the trick. Especially if they're all drunk and panic at the sight of monsters in the Enclave.
And if they don't? Well, I'll just summon something bigger.
She gestured at her essence crystals.
Hell, I may do that anyway.
Let's see how it goes first. With that, it was time, and I pulled the door open. Follow me. We entered the textile mill and found ourselves in a cramped room that was dimly lit by candles. It was cluttered with barrels and boxes, and littered with trash and empty beer bottles. The air was musty, almost as if the place was actually abandoned, but there was the sound of laughing and banter ahead, so I knew that wasn't the case at all. Moving carefully ahead, the room opened to a hallway that branched to our left and right. The one on the right led to a wide-open doorway where the sounds of conversation emanated from. The left also had an opening to what I assumed was the same massive room, but at the end of the hall was another doorway that had the beginnings of a stairwell, barely visible beyond it. I led us to that. The stairs were metal and led up along the brick walls to the catwalk above. They looked down onto the entire mill. Layla caught her breath as we both got a good view of the main floor of the mill below us. A massive open interior stretched out below us, where the women used to work. But now, several broken spinning machines were pushed against the walls. In the middle of the space was a collection of tables filled with the drakes. They drank, joked, and milled about, oblivious to us lurking above them. It didn't matter, really. Our monsters would clear the place out from top to bottom easily enough. And it was time to get the proceedings started. You ready? I asked as I slipped a few crystals from my bandolier. Layla nodded as she pulled out the large crystal again. It was round and deep blue, and I knew what slept within. Her hippocrans. It was far larger and more dangerous than a great E-monster.
Are you sure about that?
I lifted my brows in concern. A hippocrans would be chaos in here.
You gotta go big or go home,
she said with a smirk. I flashed her a grin. Well, I can't say that you're wrong. The faster we take out the bulk of the gang, the less chance we'll get hurt ourselves. I raised a finger. Just remember to dismiss it if you start to lose control, or we'll have a bloodbath on our hands. She nodded, and then she dropped the crystal below. Essence crystals are nigh indestructible to physical force, so it crashed into the middle of one of the tables occupied by the gangsters. It shattered some of the plates they were using, and startled some of the men, but it was already too late. The crystal glowed and flashed in a brilliant display a moment before the behemoth that was the hippocrans burst forth. I was right. It was total chaos. With a mighty roar, the mighty beast swept three drakes aside with a mighty kick, and threw another across the mill with a headbutt. The gangsters pulled out their pistols, swords, and the few rifles they had, but they were hardly effective against the massive creature.
Did you even need me for this?
I asked Layla. She smiled.
I just needed the company.
The Hippocrans busted through walls, toppled tables, and destroyed the dilapidated spinning machines. Once, it accidentally ran through one of the main walls and went outside. Layla grimaced, her face dappled with sweat, as she did her best to control the notoriously wild monster. A moment later, it reemerged through the hole it had made, and continued throwing and crushing the gangsters left and right. It was a good thing, too, because Layla was losing her grip on her monster. Her face was red with strain and soaked with sweat, her hair plastered to her forehead.
"I can't anymore,"
she wheezed, and then she thrust out her hand, and the Hippocrans returned to its crystalline home. Unfortunately, as the dust settled, there were still quite a few drakes left standing. Not that it worried me, because I'd already tossed my own monsters down to the mill below. With a staccato burst of flashes and smoke, my grunts appeared to mop up the stragglers. Axe goblins, box trolls, and cement trolls most of all. The panic below only grew as the remaining gangsters engaged with my monsters. They were more successful holding them back, as their weapons could actually affect the weaker monsters, but only barely. The drake's cries of pain and shock were loud and clear as they were pummeled into submission, or coated with fast-hardening globs of cement. However, reinforcements arrived for the drakes as well. A door burst open below the foreman's office, and in streamed a few more dozen gang members. They immediately engaged with my monsters, even as one of the thugs pointed up at us.
"There! Summoners!"
Well, hell. A few of the drakes raised their guns at us and fired. I was only just barely able to summon a Wallerdon to shield us before we were riddled with bullets.
"We should move,"
I told Layla. She nodded, and even though she looked better now, I figured I should handle it from here to be safe. Mana depletion could be fatal, and we were far from the academy where it could be easily treated. With the Wallerdon offering us cover, we descended the stairs to the hallway we'd entered through. A huge hole in the middle where the Hippocrans had run through led into the main chamber, but unfortunately, my Wallerdon wouldn't fit through the narrow hallway. As I was dismissing the beast back to its crystal, footsteps pounded over the rubble. Two drakes emerged through the hole, weapons drawn. I was faster, though, and shot one right in the arm. The pain and shock made him drop his gun, just as I punched him in the face to take him down. The second gangster rushed me in the hopes to blindside me as I finished off his mate, sword held high. Layla had my back, though, as she showed off the sword skill she had learned at the academy. With a quick slash, she bloodied his sword arm to throw off his aim, then followed up with a crushing strike to his blade. The weapon was knocked clean out of his grip, and a hard pommel strike to the thug's skull knocked his lights out.
"I got your back, remember?"
she said to me as she kicked the downed drake in the ribs for good measure. I smiled. "Yeah." It took a moment to reload the old-fashioned pistol while Layla scooped up a rifle from one of the gangsters that her Hippocrans had tossed through the hole in the wall.
"Come on,"
she said, and then charged through the hole. I was right behind Layla, but nearly ran into her when I emerged into the space. I moved past her to see the fighting was over. Unconscious drakes were strewn about like dirty laundry, and quite a few were screaming and crying from cement prisons. My goblins and box trolls were collecting the rest, conscious or not, so that the cement trolls could finish bundling them all up. Layla's shoulders sagged as she let out a long sigh.
"Thank goodness."
I kept walking amidst the debris and surveyed our handiwork. A whole gang taken down in one lightning raid? A good night's work, and I had thought I might just have an answer to deal with the police problem.
"I know you said the local police are corrupt," I mused as I turned to Layla, "but there are more precincts in Varley Enclave. It might be irregular, but if we sent word to the units around the academy, it might ensure that the drakes are taken care of properly." Her eyes lit up at the idea of it.
"I hadn't even thought of that, Griff."
She pursed her lips.
"I forget sometimes that I don't have to rely on the slums for help anymore, that there are higher authorities I have access to because of the academy."
"Then that's what we'll do," I said with a nod of authority before a smirk slipped across my face. "Of course, that leaves one last problem."
"What's that then?"
She arched an eyebrow curiously as I thumbed at the collection of cement-encased drakes. "Who is the one who has to stay in the filthy goblin's die to babysit these assholes while the other goes to fetch the proper police?" As I righted a chair that somehow survived the chaotic battle, I laughed.
"I'd argue that this is your mess, You should have to be the one to deal with the filth these animals left behind.
I'd argue that this is your mess. You should have to be the one to deal with the filth these animals left behind.
I thought Gawain's perfume was nauseating enough, but...